We're going to do our best this morning to really wrap up Jonah. I love the book. I hope the way we presented it to you and with the your note cards and everything will help you somehow to retain. The sad thing is most of us don't remember 20% of what we hear. And so I hope that you retain a little bit on the book of Jonah. We're going to wrap this up and see what we have learned from it. We're going to have the lessons from Jonah today. We're going to start out by, if I can. I don't know why. Jim. No, I don't need the megaphone. No, that's for sure. I don't need a megaphone. I don't know why this thing's jumping around on me. I can't believe it. I've already ran through this thing three times this morning.
And just hit the presentation.
Slideshow.
Yeah.
From current slide.
Yeah. It should have just started.
Yeah.
Hit the space bar or anything? Nothing happened?
Isn't that something?
That is weird.
It's like it's frozen.
But it lets you use
that's the
mouse.
Yeah. It's just... I ran through it four times this morning before I came in here. Current slide. That's the one I want right there.
What happens if you hit this one right here? The picture of the, yeah, that one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
See, that's crazy.
That is
Let's
crazy.
Go. Let me go.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Now, for those of you that have missed a few, and you do, because I just know human beings, you're not going to make it every Sunday here. And I appreciate those of you that do. But this short book of Jonah, it's a very short book. I made it long. But the short book of Jonah tells the story of this prophet by the name of Jonah. And he refused to obey the commandments of God to call Nineveh to repentance. His job, his assignment, let me just remind you, was to call Nineveh, this rank pagan city, to repentance. And so this very zealous Jewish patriarch, his name was Jonah, he decided he didn't want Nineveh to repent. And he brought it among himself to not want them to repent. And so instead, he desired for this city to be destroyed by the hand of God. He wanted God to just zap them out and because of their wickedness. And since the Assyrians were the biggest enemies toward the Israelites, the biggest enemies, and they could come down from the north down onto Israel and go against battle against them. So he knew that they were a primary threat to the nation of Israel. And so he just decided upon himself that he wasn't going to take this assignment. And so when God told Jonah to prophesy against Nineveh, that's when he fled to Tarshish, the city Tarshish. You got two cities that we talk about, Nineveh and Tarshish. And the Lord then, while he got on that ship, the Lord sent a storm threatening the lives of those on the ship along with Jonah. And they threw their cargo overboard, but they were still not safe, if you remember. They still were not safe. And in desperation, they cast lots. this is the determining factor. They cast lots to see what reason God sent the storm. It's kind of like spin the bottle, you know. They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. And so by casting lots, they believed in this stuff, and they were right in this case that the lots fell to Jonah. He confessed his sin, and he told these sailors that that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Now, they were not connecting with the Lord. They were not connected with God Yahweh. They didn't want to be a part of God Yahweh, probably these sailors also. And so in chapter 1, verse 10, he told them that he was fleeing. He was fleeing from God. Well, they were sharp enough to know that you don't want to hang around and socialize with somebody fleeing from God. And so these valiant sailors desperately tried to navigate their ship to land. And when they fail, the sailors followed Jonah's advice and they threw him overboard. Then the Lord sent a great calm. The sea calmed. And the Lord prepared a huge fish. We don't know if it was a whale. We don't know. It was huge. To swallow Jonah. And for 3 days and three nights, and that is a part of this typology here about Jesus, 3 days and three nights, he was in the fish's belly. And there inside the belly, this was a good time to repent. There inside the belly, he repented, and he prayed to the Lord. And the fish threw Jonah up. He hurled Jonah. The fish hurled Jonah up onto dry ground. And we had mentioned in our lesson that it's interesting that all of a sudden Jonah got a new start at the same place where he left. He's back up on dry ground. And the Lord gave Jonah a second chance here. And he says to Jonah, he says, arise. This is chapter 3, verse 2. He says, arise and go into Nineveh. Now, see, Jonah's heard this before. Arise and go into Nineveh, this great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I told you to preach. This time, Jonah went and preached to Nineveh. And the city heard the message of Jonah. And the sign of the Lord in saving Jonah from death in the fish's belly served to convince the Ninevites when he was preaching this, the truthfulness of his message. The entire city of Nineveh repented of their sin, and God did not destroy the city. Keep in mind, Jonah wanted him to destroy the city. God was not going to destroy the city. Jonah went ahead and he preached into Nineveh, and he wanted the Lord to destroy it, but he didn't. Jonah was unhappy. He was unhappy at the results of this revival in Nineveh. It distressed him that the people responded to his message. You understand how counterproductive this is? He was distressed that they responded in a favorable way to the message of God through Jonah, the spokesman, to this city. And so he began to pout. We know about that. We had a lesson. He was pouting, and this pouting prophet went to a hill nearby Nineveh, and he sat and watched the Lord to destroy the city. It didn't happen. As he sat in the hot sun, as I was sitting yesterday in the hot sun, the Lord sent a gourd to shade him. And the next day, the Lord smote the gourd and made it wither and died. So Jonah was angry. See, he's always angry at God. He was angry at God for his assignment. He was angry at God that God forgave the entire town of Nineveh. Now he's angry at God because he made this gourd shrivel up and die. And God asked him, why in the world could you show sorrow for a gourd, but you would expect God to allow 120,000 children who could not distinguish their right hand from their left hand to perish? Now that's the height of Jonah fretting and agonizing over a shriveled up gourd, and he had no compassion for the city of people. And on this note, the book closes. And we mentioned last week it closes, and it did not end right. It did not end the way I would want it to end. It did not tell us at the end of this book what happened after this. And it made us ponder the lessons taught within. And I'm going to suggest to you several lessons from the book of Jonah. If you have your note card here, We're going to see, number one, what I wrote down, I learned, is that man cannot escape God's presence. Man can't escape God's presence. He can't escape going to Tarshish. He can't escape it on a ship. You can't escape God in a rocket ship. You can't escape God's presence. Jonah tried to escape his responsibility before God by running from what he thought his presence. Now, we in the Christian life, those who've been believers for a while, there's been a terminology used about running away from the Lord. Jonah is always the example we use about running away from the Lord. There's been attempts on many of our parts, so turn your halo down. There's been attempts on many of our parts at times in our walk with the Lord to find ourselves running away from what the Lord wants us to do. Find ourselves not wanting to obey. But man can't escape from God's presence. Jonah left his hometown, but he could not leave God's presence. God's all-seeing eyes followed Jonah as he boarded that ship, headed toward Tarshish. And there will be trying to escape his responsibilities, and we looked at that. But there will be no more successful than that was the prophet, what he could do. He had an assignment. He was running away from it. God will still hold me and you accountable, regardless of how far that we may run from his presence. He's going to hold us accountable. When he's spoken to you and he's spoken to me, he doesn't speak to us all the same. He doesn't speak to us all about the same thing. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved in your life and the Holy Spirit points out some things that need some attention or something that you get prompted, you've heard that phrase, prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something, you cannot escape from God's presence. The second lesson I learned in the book of Jonah is that God controls nature. The book of Jonah emphasizes God's control over the nature as well. The Lord sent the storm. So, I mean, and to the sea, in chapter 1, verse 4, he sent the calm of the sea, chapter 1, verse 15. He sent a great fish to swallow Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. And he commanded the fish to vomit or throw up Jonah, chapter 2, verse 10. The book of Jonah emphasizes that God in heaven hath made the sea and the dry land, and he's in control of nature and the events, and he can control them, and he can orchestrate them. He certainly can. The third lesson I learned in here is the meaning of repentance. There's two groups I want to look at here real quick. The book of Jonah vividly demonstrates the meaning of repentance. The Lord told Jonah, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, this is Jonah's repentance. Arise and go to Nineveh, chapter 1, verse 2. And in his rebellion against God, Jonah fled to Tarshish. He should have gone northeastern to Nineveh, but instead he goes northwestern down to Tarshish. When Jonah finally repented, the Lord again commanded. He told him again, arise and go to Nineveh, hardhead. Arise and go to Nineveh, chapter 3, verse 2. And so The Jonah went to Nineveh. He finally repented, and he went to Nineveh. Now, listen to me now. He repented about not going to Nineveh, but he didn't repent about how he felt about the people in Nineveh. He repented of not going, physically going to Nineveh, and doing what he was supposed to do. And so when Jonah preached in the city of Nineveh, saying, and this was his message. He didn't have to use PowerPoint for this. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people of Nineveh believed in God and proclaimed a fast. You remember, the king proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth. And from the greatest of them, the Bible says, even to the least of them, chapter 3, verse 5, they begin to repent and fast. What a contrast of this Gentile Assyrian city. What a contrast to this Gentile city which repented when one prophet preached to them and the Israelites. God's chosen people, the Israelites. This is the thing I almost missed in this book. His chosen people, the Israelites, refused to repent when prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet proclaimed to them, if they didn't straighten up and fly right, that God was going to deal with them. And so these Ninevites did what the nation of Israel could continue not to do. And where we are today, they still have not proclaimed Jesus Christ to be the Messiah. And so we've learned from the Old Testament, all the prophets, all the way up to where we are today. And yet this city of Nineveh repented, and they demonstrated their sorrow for their sin and resolution to turn from it. Here the book of Jonah demonstrates the meaning of repentance in these two examples. You had the example of Jonah's lack of repentance and then his repentance, but you also had the repentance of the Ninevites, the entire city that was saved. The next thing I learned in here is on the bottom of your note card, is that God loves all men. If we're not careful, we almost believe that God only loves us in the United States of America, in Texas, God bless you for coming over, or even in our area, in our city. If you're not careful, you forget the magnitude of this worldview of God. That God's concerned about all the nations. He's concerned about all the people. And this is what Jonah couldn't grasp in his heart and mind, that as much as you hate the Ninevites, as much as they were enemies of God's people, God still loved them. And he wanted them saved. He wanted them to be redeemed. And this prophet Jonah didn't want to see them too. He did not want them to be delivered from God's judgment. He desired to see these heathens blasted from the face of the earth by the judgment of God. Therefore, he ran from his mission to call them to repentance the first time. In contrast here, Jonah, God loved the Ninevites, and he was just as concerned about their welfare. He was about the Israelites. And Jonah, he saw there were 120,000 innocent infants and children. We're not even doing that today. I mean, don't get off on that. He saw that there were 120,000 innocent infants and young children who would die if the judgment of God fell on this city of Nineveh. And he loved them and he cared for them. And consequently, he sent the prophet to warn them of God's judgment and call them to repent. And so this was a lesson learned here, that God loves all men. On the back of a card also came to this point, that the sin of begrudging God's mercy, the sin of begrudging, that's your word for your blank. I'm sorry I don't have a PowerPoint for you. Begrudging God's mercy. This incident of the gourd, we're talking about the gourd, occurred to convert Jonah from his sin of begrudging God's mercy. Not to convert him, but the sin of begrudging God's mercy toward the Gentiles. That was sin in Jonah's life. That's little S-I-N. It's not capital S-I-N. God saves us from capital S-I-N, but we still, as believers, still commit little S-I-N-S. And so this is one of those where he was begrudging God's mercy and toward the Gentiles. And so on the card right here, I wanted to contrast Jonah's human pity on the gourd. Keep in mind, it's a gourd. It's a gourd, ladies and gentlemen, with God's pity on the Ninevites. Jonah's human pity for the gourd. He pitied on the gourd, and God's divine pity, he had pity on Nineveh. And Jonah's human pity, it was a short-lived gourd, and God's pity had to do with eternal souls forever. And Jonah's human pity cost Jonah nothing. And God's divine pity, God made and sustained the city. Jonah's human pity, one plant. God's divine pity had to do with many, many people. Big difference. Big difference. You see, Jonah felt sorrow at seeing the gourd. Sorrow's your word there. Jonah felt sorrow at seeing a gourd die. Now, Joseph, I know this is a vegetable, okay? It is a vegetable, a gourd. Would you put it in the vegetable category? You don't have a crop of gourds, do you?
No.
No, you don't eat gourds. Maybe they're worthless. That's why God dried it up. I don't know. This is a plant. This is something vegetation that grew. This is botany. Okay, it's not zoology. It's botany. Okay, I took that one semester. And so Jonah had this pity on this gourd, and God had pity on the Ninevites. Jonah felt the sorrow for seeing this gourd die, but desired and would have rejoiced to see thousands in Nineveh perish. Jonah's begrudging that God would forgive the Gentiles may very well be the Old Testament answer, I believe, to Jews who begrudge the gospel going to the Gentiles. They still don't believe it. To demonstrate the nature of God, it has always been the same in His love for all mankind. Through the Apostle Paul, God revealed His desire for the Gentiles to be grafted into the covenant despite Jewish opposition. Therefore, in the book of Romans, it talked about that. Grafted together. One group. And the Jews resisted that. And then I learned the last thing about this contrast between Jonah and Jesus. Jonah and Jesus. And I put you a little chart up there comparing these two. Jonah is considered kind of a typology of Jesus. He was in the belly of this great fish for 3 days. And then he was, same terminology, he was resurrected out of that fish's belly. And so this comparison with Jonah and Jesus, the typology, Jonah's life, his life was given to save sailors, where Jesus' life was given to save sinners. And Jonah was cast to a certain death into the sea, and Jesus died. And Jonah was buried in the fish's belly, and Jesus was buried in a tomb. Jonah was raised to life when he was thrown up, and Jesus was raised from the dead. And Jonah's incident was a sign to confirm his message of repentance. And Jesus' incident was a sign to confirm his gospel when he died on that cross. He was placed in that tomb and was resurrected after 3 days. That was what's validated for our salvation. And then Jonah had a mission to save Gentiles. And Jesus had a mission assigned to save the Jews and Gentiles together. Even the Ninevites, the Assyrian Ninevites, the God who sent His Son to die on the cross, prefigured His death by the events recorded in the book of Jonah. Jonah's a wonderful, wonderful book for us to learn something from. It doesn't end up with a real conclusion of what happened to Jonah. I hope he ended up straightening up and flying right. It doesn't tell us. I hope he learned his lesson. I hope he, you know, that sometimes we have to take another lap around Mount Sinai until we learn our lesson. And I hope God used Jonah in a mighty way. He did in this book. It's just 4 chapters. I like looking at a book that's not real long. I'm an impatient person. At 8 o'clock, we're in the book of Genesis, and we've been in it for months, and we'll still be in it. And I think I'm teaching Genesis 34 next Sunday morning, and we got a lot of Genesis left in there. But the book of Jonah was something we could start and we could finish, and that's why I chose this book. But this book also had some lessons for us to learn, and these are the lessons that I believe that we could come away from the book of Jonah with that could be applied to us. That God does love all people. If He didn't, then why are we going on all these trips? Why do we go? Why don't we just stay home? Especially since we're the selected ones. And let's be careful that God does love all of them. And He is in control. And He controls everything. And there's a real meaning of repentance. Real repentance here. And so we have finished the book of Jonah. Once again, if you missed any and you want to go back and listen to them, they're on the website under our medias for lessons. And you know, click on Jonah, you can click my name. If you don't remember my name, you can click on Jonah. And all the lessons of the audios are on there. Also, you have the notes that are on there that you can print off and use if you want to be complete and finish the book of Jonah. Let's pray.